You found us. Welcome to the Check Out California Radio Show, your key to California hospitality. Hosted by Rad Gantos, principal of Rad Gantos and Associates, a hospitality and commercial real estate design firm, and Craig Sullivan, executive vice president of ParkWest GC, a hospitality and commercial real estate general contractor. Check Out California is focused on our state's hospitality, travel, and tourism markets, and on the large part they play in California's vibrant and innovative economic diversity and unique quality of life. Now, here are your hosts, Rad Gantos and Craig Sullivan.
Good afternoon, this is Craig Sullivan.
Yeah, and this is Rod Gantos trying to figure out the volume controls here at the studio.
And
Paul told me I had control of, but he held the controls away from me, Craig.
Welcome to Check Out California. Today we are very lucky to have Russell Edmond from Russell of Hotels in the house. He has got a very unique company and does some extraordinary things within the hospitality community, and it was a pleasure to get you in here today. Russell, welcome to Check Out California.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
We'd like you to go over your background a little bit. Well, you don't have
to. Well, hold on. It's a one-hour show. No, it's a pretty impressive background, so I insist you do, Russell.
Okay.
Yes, please.
Thank you so much. I will. But thank you so much. I do appreciate both you guys inviting me to come. I could think of nothing else for the last several weeks leading up to this point. But just a little background about me.
Pressure.
Just a little background about me. I went to how I got in hospitality. I went to Cal Poly Pomona back in the
college.
About 100 years ago. And wasn't sure what I wanted to do at first, but went to school, took some classes in hospitality management, mm-hmm. like an intro class, because I've been doing marketing and like business management and things like that. But I said, you know, there's something I must be missing. Maybe there's something else that, you know, that I'll gravitate to. So I ended up taking a intro class, intro to hospitality management, and the professor, he talked about, the intro class was about McDonald's. It was about how McDonald's got started, Ray Kroc, and things like that. And we spend like the whole hour talking about French fries. And I said, well, this is kind of interesting. I don't know if this is really
what
I want to do.
You paid for a class.
I paid for a class. Exactly. Exactly.
That's
just one of the classes now. There's other classes too.
Yeah.
But we'll just talk about this one for now. But it became interesting. I mean, just the whole McDonald's story and how it got started and how Ray Kroc took it over from McDonald's Brothers and things like that. And then it just, the only thing I didn't like about my experience at the school is it was just heavy food and beverage. And I knew that wasn't going to be my forte. I liked to eat, but I didn't necessarily say I wanted to work in a restaurant.
Right,
So I ended up taking some classes in marketing and hotel related, and I kind of fell in love with them. Did some projects with, my senior project was to do a total food and beverage series for the Sheraton at LAX. And I loved it. And actually, I got offered a job.
You say you worked
there. Yeah, yeah. I actually got offered a job to go into sales right away. But it was in New Orleans. Mm. And I had never been out of California. Well, I've been to Arizona. I grew up on a border town. And I had been to Arizona, but I'd never been anywhere else. So I said, no, I don't think so. So I ended up going with Marriott. So I ended up going with Marriott Courtyard Division, started off as a housekeeping manager, and kind of worked my way up from there. So housekeeping manager, opened up a couple other hotels under the Courtyard umbrella, one in housekeeping and another one in front office, and knew that's what I wanted to do. And then we ended up, meeting my family, or my wife and I, ended up relocating to Sacramento. She ended up going to school at UC Davis. And I started working with the Sheraton, which is now the Marriott in Rancho Cordova. I was a night manager / assistant general manager kind of thing, and, you know, / doing whatever
needed to be done.
Exactly. Yeah. Kicking people out, you know, a bouncer. I mean, I did everything.
Yeah, night auditor, all of it.
Yeah. Exactly. But it was a great experience. But I knew I wanted to get into sales eventually. So I ended up from there. the owner of the company that was managed by Stanford Hotels at that time, or still managed by Stanford Hotels. And he ended up buying a hotel in Woodland Hills, a Hilton in Woodland Hills. Yeah. I ended up going there as a night manager again, but then with the goal of being in sales. And I would basically pester the director of sales and marketing and say, hey, I want to get in sales. I want to get in sales. What do I need to do? And, you know, sometimes they just blow you off like, you don't know anything about sales, whatever. Well, anyway, Tom Torrance, who was my director of sales, gave me a chance.
Nice.
Gave me a book of list, you know, the business list.
Oh, yeah.
Said, you know, my first task was to find business out of that book of lists.
List, yeah.
And after a couple of weeks, I ended up finding something. I mean, just going through the list of different businesses in Orange County. I mean, not Orange County. I'm sorry. It was in the Valley. Yeah. It was in the Valley at that time. And I ended up finding business, and that's how it all started as far as sales are concerned. So I did end up being a director of sales for some years. Probably, well, let me just say this. I've been at 14 hotels since 1989.
Wow.
Okay, now with the exception of 3 years, I left the industry to start a in-home care business. But then I left that because the economy had changed and went back into hospitality, went back into hotels. So
that's Rad's other show, The Rad Life.
That's an interesting departure. Yeah, I'm going to bring you back around to that.
Please do.
I'm
sick and tired of hospitality. Sick and tired of hospitality. I'm going to go into in-home care.
Yeah. So anyway.
He's a glut for something? I mean.
So when did you launch Russell of Hotels? And tell us about that. Because that's how we met, basically, because of a video you'd posted.
Russell of Hotels came from when I finally left the hotel. I had there was something else I wanted to do. I mean, I always wanted to do my own thing, meaning if that was meeting planning and things like that, that's what it was. So I actually started off being – I call it hotel site selection, but for, you know, people on the outside, they know it as being a meeting planner.
Yeah.
Well, what I do is support meeting planners for the most part. So I'll help meeting planner that doesn't have time to do the sourcing for their location of their hotels, for their meetings and things like that. So I'll assist them. So that's where the name Hotel Site Selection comes from. And, you're always trying to think of a company, a company name, you know, kind of cool or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm into branding and self-branding for the most part.
Right.
And, everybody wants to hear their own name.
Mm-hmm.
So I came up with Russell and, my whole life has been in hotels. So I said, Russell of Hotels.
Hotels.
I actually pitched it to somebody because I was thinking of another name. And he said, no, I like Russell of Hotels because he said it's kind of like royalty.
Right.
It has a little bit of, like an old world, like you'd say, Craig of, whatever the profession was. Mm-hmm. There was sort of this. The Baron of Balboa, right? But your last name was a reflection of your profession. You're a carpenter. Your family name was Carpenter or Baker or something like that. When I heard it the first time, it evoked. Maybe I've seen too many Robin Hood movies or something, right? But it evoked a ye old England kind of thing to me, And then you got this little fancy way to do the R's, and it was like Russell of Hotels. Ah, yes. Rod and Greg of the radio right now. Or something. But no, I think hospitality is a very interesting industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to ask you, Russell, why sales? Like you sound to me like as you were going through this, as you were moving from, housekeeping to whatever, there was this sort of like dying hunger to kind of get into sales. So what was it about sales that kept you, knocking on people's doors and going, hey, I want in. What does it take to get in here?
That's a good question. When I was going back to college, a lot of the classes we did were group related, and we had to do a lot of presentations.
Yeah.
And every time I did a presentation, the instructor or people that were other classmates or whatever would always say, hey, you have this flair for talking in front of people. And that's something that would translate into sales because I guess at that time, I've done presentations since, but that was not the reason why I went into sales, because I could, I was great at speaking or anything like that. I thought it was more, more relationship driven. I mean, I was more of one of those people that wanted to build relationships with people.
Yeah.
I didn't want to sell anything. I just wanted to build relationships with them, but I needed to know the product I was actually selling. So I mean, I don't know if this answered your question.
Yeah, but you could have gone into therapy. I mean, yeah, and maybe in a certain way you did with sales, right?
But sales, I guess the term sales
was it the reward?
Is,
was it the goal achieving? What was it about it?
It was the nature of the hunt.
Ah.
Okay, the nature of the hunt.
I knew if I asked you long enough, you would come.
Yeah. I used to play football, okay? So I was a football player.
This is why we dig.
Okay. We need, you know, you always need something to replace that.
Funny.
You know, hitting people or knocking people out.
I'm into sales because
I'm
hitting people.
So that was kind of
the goal setting, the achieving, the seeking out.
You set goals for yourself. Exactly. You set goals for yourself.
Because camaraderie of the team and all of that.
Nobody wakes up. I mean, I haven't had people wake up in the morning and go, you know, I have this just hunger to go into sales.
Yeah,
right?
You got it, Adam, you're right. Thank you.
Okay, it's not good. I appreciate that because, I think it speaks to you having the drive and the ambition to pursue something because it's a goal, and then the human component, the collaborative component, the relationship component, you either are DNA driven that way.
It is in our DNA.
It's in your DNA. Or you're not.
Stop taking my line.
And I think in hospitality, you know, if you don't have that in your DNA, then it's a very hard industry to be part of because there's good days and there's bad days, and sometimes
a lot of bad days.
Yeah, those are the things that carry you through those bad days. Is the relationship component
exactly?
So what happened that would cause you to leave all that and actually go set up something for like an in-home care, and why?
Well, I was telling the story earlier. The in-home care came because of a father-in-law and a grandfather that were
personal.
Yeah, exactly. There was a need. There was a personal experience where they were both going through stages of dementia and things like that. And then at that point, I was at one hotel, and there was kind of a transitional period in my career where another company was taking over a hotel I was working in, and things weren't how you're normally the first to go is either the GM, the controller, or the DOS, right? When
right
they
there.
When they make exactly.
How
so
long
it was one
ago
of those.
This
was 06.
Okay, so there, you had also an economy situation.
Yeah,
going on.
Yeah, and then 06 to 09 is when I did the in-home care, and then everything kind of changed because the economy started shifting in about 08 and by 09, because my in-home care business was private pay, meaning people had to pay.
Yeah,
right. And
most in-home care is from savings and from research.
Exactly. And then people started losing their jobs. Yeah. So
they didn't have discretionary income for that.
Exactly.
Yeah. excuse me, if I may just expand for a minute on this, because I think it does relate to hospitality. It's just like Craig said, it touches on this other show that I do about boomers and some of the topics sometimes we cover. What was it about this that made you, in your mind, other than the fact that it was a personal struggle that you were dealing with, and this was a way maybe for you to work through that you bridged the hospitality thing with that? Did you see a marriage between those two? Did you see a lacking in how the delivery of services was done that maybe the hospitality component could basically aid in it?
Well, I guess at first I didn't think about it like that, but as I kind of reflect on it, the situation was there was a need and that need was not being met, meaning you're trying to find quality or qualified caregivers and we were unable to
find them and
keep them consistently.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in my mind, like, well, I can do that because, and it goes back to where your past experience was. Well, you know, we've done things like this as a salesperson.
It's just a different focus.
But so it definitely... I did not miss out on a lot because I was still selling,
but
it was selling to a different
And you were still caring.
Yes.
And you were still providing accommodations and you were still providing services and assistance.
Yeah.
Right? So the reason, and I appreciate you letting me indulge for a minute here, but the thing about this is we always talk about the spirit of hospitality. That at its core, it is about people. It is about being hospitable. Mm-hmm. It is about the provision of those services. And so here was a different industry, perhaps, but it still had some
at
shared
core
values
that
would also link to your previous experience. And I experienced this on an interior design side. I experience this all the time because we are doing, for example, right now, a 3-story, 122-bed, 80,000 square foot ground up in Stanton that is a memory care. And And I've been doing hospitality project, whether it be wellness and spas or hotel work, since 1994.
Okay.
So I'm asking this question because I have seen it myself, mm-hmm. where there is a benefit that you can bring from this experience being applied to this,
mm-hmm. yeah.
especially when, to your point, a lot of the expenditures are coming out of private resources from reverse mortgages, perhaps, from family assets, right?
Absolutely.
And
right.
in tight economic times, those things, you still need to want to do the right thing and provide the right kind of services to people. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate you guys both letting me indulge that, because I think it's important for people to understand that we are in a hospitable business.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just this building with beds in it.
You're right. Thank you for bringing that up.
You're absolutely right about that. Part of our conversation at lunchtime mm-hmm. was part of the hospitality nature is to help, whether it's
yep.
in the fire situation throughout the state of California mm-hmm. in hotels,
yep.
putting up displaced families
exactly.
and taking care of the firefighters, you know, to any number of other situations and, you know, charity events, you know, not only, you know, statewide, you know, community wide, globally, it's always been about people, and it's, mm-hmm. it's that roof over somebody's head, that comfortable
exactly.
bed, that
yes.
port in the storm, whatever mm-hmm. you want to call
exactly.
it. So, but, you know, you and I started a conversation just a few weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
all based on a video that you had posted on a downtown L.A. hotel. And it's the Mayfair Hotel. And mm-hmm. as we were discussing during lunchtime, I was very familiar with that hotel. Went in there and looked at it when it was in its old form to possibly manage. And then when I was with a hotel company, and then also with my current employer, Park West, to do the renovations. We bid that. And you posted this video that was just mesmerizing. It was one of those pieces that jumps out and bites you, and you go, wow. And I immediately did two things. I reached out to you, and I sent it to Rad. And you and I started a dialogue, and you know, Russell's telling me, well, you know, I'm not with the hotel. I don't know if you still want me on the show. Oh, no, I do. You know? And, you know,
we're very non-conventional
yeah,
that way.
Yeah, yeah. But I, in all fairness, I did reach out to that salesperson that, mm-hmm. that had commented, and I asked her to be on the show as well
okay.
for a future show. So mm-hmm. hopefully the Mayfair will contact me.
So now that you've set it up like that, okay,
yeah.
for any of the two people that are listening to the show, right?
Hey, we got more than that.
Okay, the three people.
No, keep going. We're double digits.
We're double digits?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, the four people.
We've got 12 people.
No, we have a lot of people that listen to the show. Trust me.
Yeah.
We have good listeners, don't we? We have the best listeners. So now that you've set it up like that.
It's because okay, we work with the brightest and the best and the best.
Yeah, the breasts. The Russell's like, what the heck did I do to myself walking
into
today? So where can people,
honestly,
since we're talking
about Arnold Palmer,
where can people watch this video while we're talking about it?
You can watch it on all my social media platforms.
I mean, I can't set
YouTube,
you up better than this.
I know, right. Thank you so much. Russell Hotels. You can look at it at RussellHotels.com, which is my website.
Two S's, two L's.
Two S's, two L's. Hotels with an S.
Yeah.
And then I have a YouTube channel as well. So okay. and I'm on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn.
Facebook.
And Facebook. I actually have two Facebook pages.
Yeah, it's not hard to find, but
yeah,
you might want to go check it out because Craig's right. It was a pretty
beautiful
piece.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Actually, I have all my videos on there. I've probably done about 50, but in each one has gotten probably a little bit better.
So why don't you walk people through that video?
Well, let's pick that up after the commercial break, and we'll be back and talk to Russell about his videos. Thank
Arnold
you.
Palmer's again?
Arnold Palmer's.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest, hire.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. By 3 with triple points on airfare, by 2 with double points on gas and groceries, and a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over a million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit axpgold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at axpgold.com.
We are back. I'm Craig Sullivan, and that's Rad Gantos. We've got Russell Edmond. This is Check Out California, and thank you for joining us today. Russell, let's get back to your videos. Tell us about the creation of your Mayfair Hotel video.
Well,
how did you pick that? You know, that goes back into your services for selection of hotels. You're doing groups typically between 25 and 50.
Correct.
And you're giving them an authentic experience. You're not going into something that is pre-programmed for bigger conferences or bigger groups. So you're more on the intimate boutique lifestyle side of it.
Part of that hotel selection that we talked about in the first half. And then you can find out more about Russell if you're just joining us at russellofhotels.com.
Yeah.
But, yeah, about why that video and why that way?
Well, I give you a history of why I'm even doing videos at all.
Yeah, sure. And the
reason had to do with me being a hotel site selection person.
Yeah.
I go to a lot of hotels. I'm in a lot of hotels.
Really?
How can I
really?
Yeah. Believe it or not, how can I remember one, you know, versus the last one?
So
I
for
saw?
your own internal so
it
reference.
Was, so initially, it was for my own reference.
Mm-hmm.
So I started posting things on all my social media channels or platforms, as well as YouTube as well. Then that way, I can have clients refer to those,
sure.
Or I can send a link to them. And they can take a look at it.
Makes perfect sense.
And what's happened in the now is that it's kind of created a life of its own. Where now hotels are actually reaching out to me, and they want me to come out and
cover them.
Yeah, exactly. Do a
right.
video for them. Because when Craig reached out to me, he asked me, was I their PR person? I'm like, well, no, I'm not their PR person. And I kind of went through how I did them. I mean, I do them on my iPhone, okay?
Yeah.
But I've gotten good at certain platforms that I use. So, I mean, with iMovie, I do some of them with iMovie.
Mm.
I do some of them with Ripple.com, which is another kind of a marketing tool to use. You can do still pictures, and it comes across as looking like they're movies.
Sure.
So I just became good at it, and now people are starting to ask. Now, how I picked the Mayfair, I actually, the director of sales, who is Natalie Finzi, is a friend of mine and colleague. We used to work together. She was my director of sales at the
Small World.
Exactly, at the Sportsman Lodge. I was the general manager.
Yeah.
And so we always kept in touch. And she didn't ask me to do it. I just went in there because I was anxious to see what the finished product was going to look like.
Yeah.
And I was just blown away by the finished product. And I couldn't put my phone down, basically. And I just did the presentation. I mean, I did the video. And it normally doesn't take me a long time to take pictures, but it takes a long time it takes some thought behind what I'm going
to
write, the captions and
just
things
the
like
editing,
that,
or
how
fades,
I'm exactly
and all that,
how I'm going to put the pictures in, you know, which order I'm going to do.
You know, I had a conversation before with the two guests that I had on the show before I came in, and we were talking about this, and it's really funny because everybody in this day and age, and this applies to anybody who's watching the show, relevant who you're looking for consultants, you're looking for people that provide this kind of a service, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In a world that is over-curated and over-canned and over-packaged, okay, it is very easy to fall into the trap of an app that has particular templates, and basically all you're doing is regurgitating the same stuff
right.
in the same template over
mm-hmm.
and over. I mean, anybody who's used a platform, for example, to, you know, a Wix or whatever, to do a website development versus a fully custom approach. And I understand there's a cost factor, there's a time factor. I can do it myself. My cousin, my kid down that's off school now for a couple of months for summer can maybe do them or something like that, right? But I will tell you, if you're smart right now, you will realize that as much as you need video content, as much as you need content that's easily digestible and translatable across social media platforms or online, right, email, whatever, you have to be careful. If you're actually getting genuine content, if you're actually getting the voice and what made your video for me resonate with me is because I'm so over saturated content that's generic, that has a little label underneath that says hashtag authentic, but has nothing to do with friggin' authenticity. It doesn't have its own voice. It doesn't have...
I'm sorry, he's jaded.
And you know what? It has served me well at 53, right? But my
57.
Damn it, Greg. Damn it, Jim. I'm a doctor. But
Eddie stayed at a Holiday Inn last night.
And I stayed at a Holiday Inn. But it's really important to actually today, and the market's getting tighter. It's more competitive. Anybody who's looking around is going, oh, yeah, the market's doing great. Yeah, okay, the market's doing great on some level, but start asking people about their discretionary income today, and you will find out
right.
that we are in for a cataclysmic change coming up. And you need to up your game if you have been sitting lazy and fat for the last 2 years.
Right.
And you got to have the courage to find your own voice or find somebody who can help you find a voice that is uniquely yours. Otherwise, in this forest of noise,
yeah.
you're going to get lost. And it's curated and it's packaged and everything is on Instagram and everything's like, but you know what? You know good content when you see it. And when I saw that thing, and I get bombarded by it. I mean, what did we say the other day? 3,200 ads you get subjected to on a daily basis as average people these days?
Yeah.
3,200 ads we're subjected to. So
how many of those stand out? Yours stands out because of your eye, because of your hospitality background, your authenticity. Yeah, that's coming through. And like when we were discussing
there's
lunch,
a genuineness that came yeah. through that was a voice that made me pay attention. Now, you could take that voice and apply it to other properties and other brands, but mm-hmm. what I'm listening to and why I'm tuning in is the voice that is guiding me. It's like watching an Anthony Bourdain. It's watching something that has – it's friggin' food, okay? I mean, how many food shows do I need to watch, right? But why am I watching Anthony Bourdain, for example, versus, you know, Gio or whatever it is, or like other shows that in the morning, right? Or, you know, I could care less about watching Chop. Right, but he's traveling around and he's smoking too much and he's drinking too much and he's telling me about the food that you know is from the corner bakery and whatever. There is an authenticity that in our society we are hungry for, and I think all these brands. I mean, we see it in the hotel industry. All these brands, multiple rollouts, multiple brands, multiple sub brands, multiple all this stuff. Right. At some point, that's all going to become noise, if it hasn't already. And how do you stand out? How do you compete for that mighty dollar? How do I get your discretionary spending if I don't take that level of sophisticated approach? That's why you need gentlemen like this.
Well, absolutely. And if you look at, in full disclosure, Russell and I both worked at Broughton Hotels at different times.
Larry's another one.
Yeah, Larry's another one. I mean, he's authentic. He's, you know, one of the pioneers in the boutique sector. And, you know, Russell goes out primarily with the boutique lifestyle independent hotels. And they've got a certain feeling when you walk through the door that hasn't been homogenized.
Exactly.
That needs to still be defined, that still needs to be captured, that still needs to sort of be translatable to other people.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and what one thing, I mean, I take more of an interest in the boutique because they don't get the same recognition that the brands do.
Right.
So if you look at anything that I post,
well, they don't have the machine.
Exactly. They don't have the
exactly. Right.
But if you look at most of the stuff I post, it's independents or boutiques and indie hotels, and that's they need some help, and I'm here to
you're there to help them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
So on the flip side of that, Russell, curious because again we were talking about a dynamically competitive industry that is constantly in flux and in change and. You know, things are forces internal and external are always at play, right? What are some of the challenges that you find are universally applicable to some of these independents? Are there some challenges that they face? Are there things that you encounter that not necessarily you encounter at a chain?
I would say, if I had to put my finger on, well, it's the resources. It's sometimes the ownership doesn't understand what needs to be done to get things going.
Right.
I'll just blanket it as that.
Yeah.
Sometimes the training could be a little less than say a Marriott. I mean, I started my career with Marriott. That's by far the best
training
I've ever had in my life. Right. So some of the stuff that when I was in an independent hotel, some of the stuff I learned from Marriott, I brought that to the independent hotels. And they ate stuff up, and they think it was something that was groundbreaking. I said, well, I knew this stuff 30 years ago, but they haven't been exposed to that. So
right.
training, I think the ownership understands the product that they have in a particular area that they have it. Understanding the market.
No.
And understanding that you don't have the same tools that the brand has or the big boxes have. So you have to invest in, you have to put more money in marketing. Because one thing that I've seen that they didn't put, you had to be creative about what you had because you didn't have a lot of money. So you had to be creative about what you did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, if this had happened, if I was still in the hotel level, and I started doing these videos, it would have been ideal for the last hotel I was at. And that was the last independent hotel I was at, and that was the Sportsman's Lodge.
Yeah.
But that was, you know, several years before where I am now. It's probably been about 6 years since I've been removed from there. But they wouldn't have the same issues now that they're probably facing now because I would have maybe introduced a lot more videos. And, you know, social media is big. And that's another thing. Social media, are we taking advantage of it?
Right.
And a lot of hotels are not taking full advantage of what they should be.
Expand on that, if you don't mind.
Well, it starts out on the website. Sometimes the websites are subpar on these independents.
But
if you take it, you know, and that's part of it. That's the branding. That's where Russell comes in. As far as I know, you do not do development of websites, but you help them with their social media platforms. Mm-hmm. You help them get their message out. You understand the market, but it's all got to be bundled together.
Exactly.
And that's where you can point them in a direction and help them.
Let me just add a slight twist to that. I don't know that it's about bundling them together as much as understanding that all of them have to be an integrated recipe, that there has to be a strategy in how all those components work together. And this, and why when I asked if you could expand on that, Russell, is because I think you have a unique opportunity here to maybe shed some light on the fact that, you know, if somebody shows up and says to you, oh, you know, we do websites, we do social media, okay, you may want to take a little closer look, because the two animals are not the same, okay?
No, but they've got to be interwoven.
Yeah, but they're not fed the same.
Mm-hmm.
And
no.
Depending on what platform on social media you're on, there's a rhythm and a rhyme and a posting calendar and things of that nature that are most effective on one platform. They may not be as effective on another.
Right.
So you cannot, once again, take a blanket broad stroke and say, you know, I know that I have to have a website. I know that I have to be on social media. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, as long as I cross that off my to-do list, I'm handled.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
That is the wrong approach. Absolutely.
But we see this. I don't know about you guys. Yeah. I see this happen all the time.
Yeah.
Where people driven by, you know, here's three proposals, and basically I'm looking at the bottom line, and I'm looking at the list of deliverables, and it's the cheapest one that has all the listed items.
Exactly.
But then I don't delve closely into what those listed items comprise of.
I think you need to know exactly what you're going after, who you're trying to target, what are you looking for.
What are you hoping to get out of it?
Exactly. Right. What's the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow? What are you trying to achieve?
I mean, you can tell me you got 14 million viewers or 14 million likes on your company Facebook page, and my next question to you is, well, how's that translatable, quantifiable, or traction-wise leading to new business?
It's all about the engagement. And how much engagement? I can have, you know, 100,000 people following me, but are they engaging with me?
Right.
Are they actually, you know, making comments about things that I'm posting?
Yeah.
Are they asking me
the right kind of comments?
Exactly. How can I book that hotel?
Right.
Like that. I mean, that's how I engage what I'm doing, right? How many people are actually looking at it, engaging me, ask me questions about it? Because I get a lot of phone calls after I post things, and they say, hey, where's that hotel? I mean, I saw that posting your hotel. How would I book that hotel? And on my site, you actually can book, you know, hotels through the site as well.
Love it.
But getting back to what you mentioned, Rad, it's definitely, you have to take your time and see which social media companies you want to go with. Because I remember early on, a general manager, I don't even remember who it was, but it doesn't even matter. But he was, his take on social media was, oh, my daughter, who's 10 years old, can do it.
Do this,
exactly. Well,
let's
have her do it.
Yeah,
my kid's at home from college. They can take care of it for me for the summer.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, if anybody really understands, and it's really funny because I hear this conversation all the time. It's like, you know, I don't understand this new job title called social media director or whatever it is. And it wasn't something that I came around when I'm using the we as in a generic format, mm-hmm. right? And so I don't understand why I should be paying them like, you know, six figures to basically do this. And I'm like, you got to better look and see, because how many times are they posting? How much management and handholding are they doing across multiple platforms? How much management of the accounts and the threads are they doing? Or responsible for through other people that are helping them. Exactly. Are they not only fashioning the message, are they putting it out through the proper sounding board? Mm-hmm. Are they engaging people in the proper manner that is reflective to the brand? I mean, if you're a food and beverage location, right, and you're basically trying to do a promotion, okay, giving me a free flight on Southwest isn't going to basically have anything to do with what the heck you're basically doing.
You're absolutely
right. But you see that happen all the
time.
And the danger is when you're dealing with somebody that maybe has just done 5 or 6 or 7 template rollouts of a particular program, and now comes to you and says, you know, we did spas, but we can do restaurants.
Yes.
And then they take the restaurant and they change the logo and they change everything and they basically do a spa program for you for a restaurant. And you're surprised why it didn't bring to anything.
Exactly.
And don't wait till the last minute to engage people like this, because this is not something that you can say, I've been working with Russell for 2 weeks and now I don't see a result. What's going on? Right?
It takes a lot longer.
Right? You have to plant the seeds, you got to cultivate, and then you got to harvest.
I wish I had you in some of these meetings, Red, because someone to basically say, you know, he's absolutely right, but people don't understand that. There's this misconception about how social media works.
We have a drop in business.
Exactly.
I need you to come in on Monday.
Exactly.
Wait, but like by the minute, when can we expect results? But 2 weeks. 2 weeks is good, right? I'm sorry, your job description may be at risk and your position may be terminated, but no, 2 weeks ain't going to cut it. I mean, I'm just saying this because we don't have these conversations. Everybody walks into these boardrooms and everybody's talking about a whole, highfalutin, ambitious goals and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And the magic bullet and the golden wand is social media. Yeah. And if you're approaching social media the same way that you're approaching traditional marketing, I can say it on the show, you're screwed. Mm-hmm. Okay? If you're approaching social media without understanding the nuances and the layers that are different, relevant to your industry, to your particular brand, to your particular market, all that, marketing a hotel in Newport Beach is not the same as marketing a hotel in Scottsdale.
No, totally different.
You're right.
Totally different.
So you bring in the experts, but then listen to them and understand that it may not be exactly what you thought you wanted to hear.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Let's talk about millennials. I mean, they've had a huge impact on the hotel industry. You know, what advice would you give hotels on marketing to millennials?
Bella who?
What is a millennial?
Someone a lot younger than me.
I've heard of these people.
Well, you know,
they live in a land far, far away.
They come out of their basements at night.
There's so much stuff that's out there. I mean, you see so many things like millennials are doing this, or they expect this, they expect that. Yeah, they do. But it's kind of like the old thing back in the day where a remote control was the big thing in a guest room.
Yeah.
Well,
and the iron.
Exactly.
Hey, ironing board.
The big thing now is, do they have Wi-Fi? And does it work? And is there enough?
Does it work?
Exactly. is it expanded enough for them to do what they want to do?
Because, sounds like gaming.
Exactly. Exactly. So you need to know the tools that they're looking for. And one big thing is
and their experience.
Wi-Fi. Is it working? Yeah.
That's why you've got more of a living room atmosphere down.
Exactly. You want more interaction. You want more interaction now in your lobby. You want more plug-ins like this right here.
Right.
Where they can come in and plug in, because that's all they do. They plug in and they want to be connected to the world, not just on the internet, but socially.
Right.
And that's why a lot of you look at the new courtyards, Courtyard by Marriott. Their product is that they want to get people out of their rooms.
Right.
So they have more working spaces
come
in
down
the lobby.
To the bistro.
Exactly.
Down to the living room.
Exactly.
You know who did that? Two things to share. The person who did that, I thought was fascinated by this, and I don't know how it's going to roll out, but I can totally see it in a hospitality situation. Was when I was traveling for the Hotech show in Sarasota, I stopped through Houston. And at the airport, I think it's a United terminal, at the airport, I had shared this with you.
Yeah.
There were, you know, typically you see all these rows of black chairs, back to back, waiting, you know, at the gates, kind of thing. Everybody's seen them. There were very few chairs that were like that in the airport and the terminal in Houston. What there was were high tables and low tables, all affixed to the ground, all bar stools or chairs affixed to the ground. There's sort of old diner counter kind of style.
Right.
But on every single chair, and when I say there was probably at least 300 chairs in this terminal, if not more, every single chair, there was a Tab E, Galaxy Tab E, okay, in a saddle, affixed in front of that chair, and there was a shared, I think, like a swipe point or something like that between every few chairs. What you did is you literally sat there, and you could order anything, food or purchase, from any of the stores that are in the terminal to be brought to you, and they literally rolled it on an old-school cart, like mm-hmm. they used to do it for on airlines, mm-hmm. with it. So I actually had fried chicken wraps, lettuce wraps, with Prosecco, okay, brought to me with a refill of Prosecco sure. to my counter. And I could have purchased anything from any of these stores, mm-hmm. right? And on the same platform was also games, was also news, yeah. was also other promotional stuff for Houston, okay? And here we are, where I was not in my room, I was not at the gate, I wasn't buried in my book, I wasn't trying to figure out whether I can make it to the newsstand and back to the gate in time right. or go to the bathroom, whatever. Mm-hmm. It was all coming to me, and there was a component of hospitality that was infused into a space at a chair equivalent that was not revenue generating, mm-hmm. that is now revenue generating.
Right. I'm just blown away that they would actually have chairs and bar stools that are movable at an airport. And the reason I say mm-hmm. that, bad weather, mm-hmm. and all the flights have been canceled. Okay, are people going to start tossing chairs all over the airport?
No, they were not movable.
They were bolted down,
and there was plenty of alcohol. So you were covered. You might sleep on the top of that table. The other thing that I was going to bring up, which was interesting, it happened to me yesterday. Speaking to this thing relevant to just understanding. Sometimes it's not the big glossy chandelier that's hanging in the ceiling that's actually going to give me a positive or a negative experience, mm-hmm. okay? I was at a very nicely done Coffee Bean, okay, in Irvine. Mm-hmm. Very nicely done. I met with some people. We were going to work a little bit out of there, right? And we really wanted to work outside. And they were nicely done outside seating with cushions and pillows and all this stuff outdoors and sunscreens and all this stuff, right? No electrical plugs. Okay, now I understand. I understand that. Somebody spent money upgrading that whole outside seating area. No electrical plugs. Okay, fine. We're in Orange County. We don't want to encourage homelessness. I'm being jaded again. You know, we don't want to provide electrical plugs for them to plug in their cell phones that are free. You know, if they're homeless and sleep on our benches, whatever. I go inside. Okay, inside the store, there were four plugs on the wall, and people were basically ready to kill each other for access to power.
Power.
Now, here's a piece of advice. Get an electrician in there overnight and add some more plugs around your store.
Yes. Right.
Because I now will not go back to that Coffee Bean, not because I don't want to admit the fact that I'm too damn lazy to charge my computer and make sure I have a full charge when I'm there, but if I happen to find myself in there and needing some power, chances are I'm not going to be able to do it. So I sat there for 45 minutes basically stewing over my cup of coffee because I couldn't plug my computer in.
See,
I mean, it's a stupid thing, but again, it's one of those things where, you know, I'm staring into the highfalutin stars in the ceiling, mm-hmm. and there's an electrical plug solution that's sitting right next to me here that
well,
can be done.
See, the other side of that coin is I won't use a Starbucks or a Coffee Bean or Grow or any of the others, okay? I just soon go into a hotel lobby. They've got a kiosk where I can get my latte. They've got Wi-Fi. I can set up. They've got plenty of plugs.
There's no place like home.
That's right. Because it's in my DNA. Yes. I've got to be in a hotel. Yeah. So, you know, I find it an easier place to work.
Exactly. That's how I started.
And I don't have the noise factor.
Yeah, that's how I started. Because I work from home, but I started going into hotel lobbies because they have everything I need.
Right.
I
mean,
I
can plug you can focus.
Exactly. Yeah. And I can focus. So that's exactly.
And if you're a smart hotel that's in an area that's not necessarily, you know, you're like you got certain areas, certain times during the day where you're kind of quiet, that may be something that you could actually cultivate as additional business to draw people in there. Because you can also then use maybe some of the smaller meeting rooms. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing some places like Courtyard Redos and things like that, where the social gathering space with the counter is basically a makeshift coffee shop.
Exactly.
That if somebody is basically working out of their car or outside
out of the
sales,
bistro,
they're basically meeting in there. So, but, you know, how many people are actually thinking, meet me at the hotel?
Yeah, there's certain hotels near two Southland airports that I will specifically go to when I'm in those cities because there's a couple of different hotels that a lot of our hotel brethren are at. And they will be there working in the lobby before they go over to the gate. So I'll run into people all the time at a couple, three of these different hotels. Mm-hmm. I know somebody's coming into town. I know their patterns. I'm going, okay, they always fly out of X airport, so I'm going to go see them over at the Marriott or the Hilton or whatever, wherever they're staying close by.
These are people he knows. He doesn't, Craig does not,
I'm not
does
stalking,
not stalk
no,
people
I,
at
no,
hotels.
No, no, I, no. And I knew you were going, you didn't even have to do that. So.
I'm just trying to disclaim the show.
Alvin.
You know, I'm just trying to do a disclaimer for the show.
See, we do have fun.
It's the drugs. It's the drugs. The drugs from my tooth pull. Okay, nothing we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's California, but that's not what I'm talking about.
Thank you. Yes, please clear that up. No, he is heavily medicated.
I am heavily medicated.
So, yeah, we'll go from there. What are you seeing in trends right now in the boutique, in the lifestyle, independent hotel? And there's a difference, you know. Everything can be called a boutique. You know, that term, is it being overused? Yeah, probably.
Is the word trend a four-letter word? Well,
boutiques are here to stay. They're not going
absolutely.
Anywhere. Absolutely. But the trends that I see, most boutiques, in order to have some type of draw, they have to have a good food and beverage component
right.
to it.
Yeah.
So that's probably the best thing that I can see. Even the Mayfair has, they've started, they have a couple of restaurants inside there as well, and a nice bar as well.
They've got a coffee experience too, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, it hasn't opened yet. I think it's going to open, the end of the month.
The interesting thing about that is it was, maybe 10 years ago where a lot of the people were shedding their food and beverage.
Yeah,
so exactly.
Cyclically, we're kind of coming back around.
Exactly. So I would say that the food and beverage component is a big thing. From a meetings perspective, I mean, because I do meetings probably 25 to 50 people, which are ideal for those types of hotels. They're looking for windows. They're looking for different kind of space, more creative space. They don't want the traditional meeting room that has no windows at all. They want to be able to see the sunlight and things like that. Especially you're spending
don't bury me in the basement in a small room.
Exactly.
They want connectivity in those rooms as well.
Yes.
And don't bring in a whiteboard. Maybe they've got one of those chalk walls where it's been painted and people are all up being creative.
Exactly. It's interesting because that magic number, like the 20 to 50, you find a lot of places, event places and so forth, that actually don't understand that there's actually a lot of repeat business on that small scale
in
that space. Mm-hmm. And their size of rooms are actually way too big. Even when broken down into smaller components, they're still way too big for those meetings.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I've had a couple of clients that in the last few years where we've actually looked at literally targeting simply that size, because if it's a small parish for Sunday, for example, they're looking for space. If it's a networking group that basically has between 25 and 50, for example, there's sort of a magic number there, like 50, 55, 60, that you would think there's a lot of spaces for them, but there really is not.
Yeah.
There might be like a private dining room or going into a restaurant early in the day when it's not busy, but there really it's a funny thing, and I don't understand why it has not really been captured, because somebody you would think could really target that for a lot of repeat weekly meetings and things like that.
Well, and you doing that, look where you're at. Okay, this is Mecca. Okay, you've got from the desert to the sea, to all of Southern California. Mm-hmm. Quote a former newsman used to be here in Orange in L.A. You can get the snowbirds into Canada, into Palm Springs in the middle of winter. Okay, you can get the people that are desert rats out at the beach during the summertime. You've got all types of corporate retreats for that small to mid-cap company that can come in with 25 people to 50 people. And they want an urban experience. You can drop them in the middle of San Francisco. You can drop them in the middle of downtown L.A., the gas lamp in San Diego, various other areas. So that's that perfect size, 25 to 50, where, again, it's that small to mid-cap company that, you and your team can target, and all of a sudden, boom, and you're going through all the hotels. You've done all your videos, and you've got them up there running on a social platform. Mm-hmm. Give me your wants and needs, okay? They give you their wants and needs, and you go, here's five locations.
I'm just kind of waiting for, I think it's going to be driven by market conditions. I'm just waiting for somebody to actually realize that you don't need, for example, 1,600 square feet for a food and beverage fast casual, that you can make it happen in seven. That, you know, if you actually package a bunch of these together and put them under one roof with a joint ABC license, what used to be a 5,000 square foot restaurant, mm-hmm. you could actually make that happen. That the commitment to real estate, high real estate commercial space value leases can actually be more managed and controlled, that you can actually bring in riskier startups and actually put them in environments like that, and then you can take those and actually make them anchor draws in boutique situations. Mm-hmm. It's a much scarier formula. It's not as safe as the person who wants to just not really kind of like keep their heads down and not take any risk. But you know what? I don't know how the – I think you're going to see a lot of shedding personally mm-hmm. from the sort of the ones that don't do that. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see, out of necessity, more and more people having to go there or change completely into something completely different. I mean, we got such a glut of commercial real estate right now, okay? Businesses are going out all the time, mm-hmm. right? And I still look at these leases, and I still talk to some of these people, and they're like, well, no, we're going to take that 5,000 square foot, you know, TGI Fridays, and we're just looking for one tenant. And I'm like, good luck. How long has it been on the market? Oh, it's been on the market for the last 18 months. Well, you think you might want to break it down into two or three mm-hmm. locations? I mean, mm-hmm. you know, or come up with a different formula.
Hey, for community kitchen. You have a big commercial kitchen that's split, and here you go.
It's that creativity.
This building, mm-hmm. you know, it's not a non-functioning former Class A office building. So they're in the middle of renovating it and turning it into more of an incubator type, you know, building now. And adaptive reuse.
We got to embrace the creativity economy. Honestly, I think the service economy is waning. Mm-hmm. The experiential economy, even if you want to talk about that, unless you're willing to really go to the level of sophistication to deliver on that, it is a scary and expensive proposition. Creative economy, especially with the nature of people and the nature of what I mean, we have become, I think, societally more open to doing stuff outside the grain.
Yeah.
Right. But there's no venues for that to happen, mm-hmm. right? The only place really where we can experiment sort of with that is social media. But at some point, you got to go from the virtual reality to the reality, right? And you know, people are comfortable in what they've done for the last 20 years in a certain way and so forth. So bring it back to hotels, though, Russell. I do want to ask this. What are you excited about? Like, what do you see with the industry that you're kind of excited about? I mean, we know boutiques are going to stay. You know, full service is a hot commodity. But
soft,
what are you
brands
excited about? Because you strike me as somebody that's not necessarily looking through a kind of contained filter. That you kind of.
Well, I mean, you're excited about. I mean, I love hotels. Let's just say that. So I'm just excited about what's next for Russell Hotels. If you really
what
think
is
about
next
it
for Russell Hotels?
The whole marketing piece. If that's doing videos, if that's meeting planning, or you know, that those are the things that I'm passionate about. So the hotel site selection part, that's what I focus on. But now the marketing piece is coming forward as well.
Which was a happy accident in a way, right?
Yeah, exactly. With the videos. And I like the marketing piece better than the other. If I had to choose at this point. Yeah, I like the marketing piece. So that's something I've always kind of gravitated to, even if I was a director of sales and marketing. I mean, you tend to forget that marketing piece, even in a brand, because you expect the brand to take care of everything for you.
Right.
But that's not how it works. I mean, you still have to do some things on property level. Even if you're a Marriott hotel, you're a Sheraton or whatever the heck you are, you still have to do your job as far as having marketing tools or doing a complete a marketing plan and living out that marketing
plan. Brand will never know your own property as well as you do.
Exactly.
Or your own immediate market as well as you
exactly
do.
But it's funny that a lot of people that are in positions in those hotels don't look at it that way. They think the brand is going to save you from everything.
No,
that's not the case.
Well, it also abdicates responsibility. You know, there's an other aspect of it. It's like if I basically say the brand's going to save me and brand's going to do everything for me and that's mm-hmm. what I'm paying for my fee for, kind of, you are abdicating responsibility. But we always go back to the olden days of hotels when you had the one property in the middle of town and the guy who was the manager knew every single baker in the town mm-hmm. and every single restaurant owner in town and the lady that rolled the cart with the flowers to the restaurant at night, and all of those pieces made for that experience of being in that particular location, staying, eating, experiencing, dining, whatever. and it was all a team environment collaborating to sell you on an experience.
Mm-hmm.
And yet now it's like, well, I mean, Orange County is notorious. We don't market the friggin' county.
Shh, be quiet. Don't spill too much.
Hmm. But we do.
Stop it.
But sadly,
not a motorboat either.
Sadly, you can't avoid the reality that when you look at a property, whether it be commercial real estate, retail, or restaurants or hotels, that the person who's really diving into the guts and the core of what that is all about, and then presenting that and its offerings.
Mm-hmm.
Are less likely to be susceptible to market conditions. That they basically establish their own space. It's more sustainable. They're offering a unique offering. They've got a loyalty that builds into it. They are vested in it. People mm-hmm. around them are vested in their success, right? Versus it's just, you know, a flat sizzle, no steak kind of thing. I take a bite and it's, yeah, it's like it looked great on the plate, but there's no flavor to it.
Exactly.
You're eating a sizzler again?
No, I'm eating with Russell. We're looking for veggie delicacies.
You're not getting any meat, I'll tell you that.
We're looking for veggie delicacies.
There you go. But you mentioned something about the experience. It's about the experience.
It's always
now.
About the
right.
It's not about your stay. I mean, that's the old thing, right? Oh, I stayed here. I stayed there. Well, okay, but how was your experience? Because that's what I used to ask when I was on property.
Yeah.
I would ask them, how was your experience? Not how their stay was.
Yeah.
And you get a totally different reaction from people because they want to know from when they came in to when they're leaving how their experience was. And that starts with the bell or even
before they even get there.
Exactly. Yeah. Before you even get there when you're making the reservation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if that's online, you know, how was that experience?
And how's the follow-up? After you left, you know,
exactly.
How's the follow-up?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Did they give you a choice between printing out your folio or emailing it to you?
Exactly.
Did the valet drop the ball as you were going out the door
and
didn't grab your bag and get your car?
Yes.
Okay.
And all that stuff plays into the sales process. Which
Q scores.
Exactly.
That
a lot of people
requires
don't even
training.
Exactly.
That requires conscious strategy.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, when the valet takes your car and asks you, oh, so nice to see you again.
Mm-hmm.
How did your kid get into that college that we mentioned to me last time you were here?
Exactly.
You're gonna basically go, wow, so it feels like family. Like this person actually cares about me. He's not just taking my car and basically parking it.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, and you look forward to basically being there. Now it might be a split second experience,
mm-hmm.
but it layers on everything else that happens before and after it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
and that doesn't happen accidentally. I mean you have to have the right people. But you also have to give them the autonomy and the encouragement and the training to actually go there.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I mean, we've got a hotel conference coming up next month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's the last big one of the year, lodging conference at the Arizona Biltmore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been staying there for 20-plus years. And some of that group of associates I've watched grow up.
Mm.
You know, they're now married. They were single. They were 18. You know, they've gotten older now. And, you know, it's the last gathering of all the brands, all the investment people, all of the owner-operators, third-party professionals of the year. So it's that must event. And you get 18 to 2,200 of us all in one location. We dominate the hotel. And I got to tell you, the staff has been outstanding. I love that hotel because it's living history for me.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Lloyd Wright, the whole nine yards, all the presidents that have visited in the past and, you know,
the layers of
everything.
The experience.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it is. It's the experience. And it starts from the moment I get out of a car at that hotel. And it goes throughout. And they've got this little coffee shop. This wonderful person's been running it for years. And, oh, Mr. Sullivan, it's good to have you back again. I go, no, Craig. She goes, Craig, it's good to have you back. Mm-hmm. How are you this morning, Craig? Yeah, the people that are taking care of the rooms that are already in the Paradise Wing as I'm coming out at 7 a.m. to go grab breakfast are all saying hi. And it's just one of those things that's become second nature.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, love going there. And it enhances the entire conference.
So, you know,
and I think you're seeing more and more of that, you know, with the independents, with the boutiques, with, you know, the brands are certainly stepping it up.
Mm-hmm.
They have to.
They have to. Exactly.
Okay. And at all the different property types, whether it's select service or full service, you know, they're stepping up soft brands. Soft
mm-hmm.
brands, I think, you know, are one of the the saviors of the industry. It's that really unique hybrid between a branded hotel that's going to deliver, you know, 30-35% of the reservations, you know, are coming off their website, off their res system, and you've got some excellent training and backing, and you still get some freedom to do a few things. And you've got companies like that you and I work for, Broughton Hotels, that is about empowering their associates, mm-hmm. their team. They're not associates, they're team members.
Exactly.
Okay. Everybody's, you know, there to learn, to better the company, to better the guest experience, mm-hmm. and it's just been incredible.
And it all started, just to piggyback on Broughton, it all starts with the top, too.
Yeah.
And Larry has set that tone.
Yeah.
I've worked with many different companies and organizations, and it makes a big difference when the person on top is the one.
Right, because otherwise it's not really sustainable.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, you'd be surprised how many people did that don't step up like
that. That's
like,
what, that no, like I'm not surprised. That's, yeah. that's why I went. But that's why I brought that whole conversation up, mm-hmm. because, you know, we talk about renos and new buildings opening up, and oh, it's so gorgeous and beautiful, and we're catching a video of it, and all of this mm-hmm. stuff, right? But the interesting thing to me is that this is almost low hanging fruit. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you actually got your head out of your proverbial backside and actually understood that spending the money on the training, the right kind of training, could be an unbelievable catalyst for your property, mm-hmm. that has nothing to do with any kind of remodel, okay? That these are people that are there, they're working, you need those positions filled. If you actually took the time to develop a offering through that is unique to your property, that is, I don't know, regionally provincial or whatever it is, that whatever your property's draw is, right?
Yeah.
That's low-hanging fruit. And, mm-hmm. and I'm astounded at the resistance that sometimes this happens from upper management, mm-hmm. that either is not comfortable with that close proximity, mm-hmm. like, because it requires a certain connectivity. You have to have a relationship component on the inside, mm-hmm. to have that kind of training translate to the outside.
Exactly.
You can't have a hands-off approach, yes. and then expect everybody on the lower tier to now provide a very hands-on, wow. touchy-feely experience.
Yes. You're right. You're absolutely
but
right.
But it happens all the time.
Yes.
And people that are kind of sort of in the pearly towers, basically talking about why are we not connecting with our people, with our guests, and providing a one-on-one customer experience? Well, because leadership. Yeah. And you can't abdicate leadership in a role like that, and
exactly.
then expect people to deliver on a relationship building experience.
Exactly.
There you go.
I did this article. It was called, what was the name of it? It had to do with.
Yeah, put with the microphone there, Russell.
I'm sorry. They keep telling me to put my.
Just face
the
mic. That's tough.
It had to do with.
He just used to drop in the mic.
The article had to do with who owns the guests.
Yeah.
And basically, it had to do with do hotel companies own the guests or
does
a
the brand,
third party?
Right.
Well,
you know,
meaning
yeah, it could be an OTA,
Google
any number
and,
of people.
Yeah, meaning
yeah.
Google
yeah.
or whatever other companies are trying to get into the hotel space or that hospitality space.
So who owns the guests?
Well, it
depends on who you ask.
It depends on who has the most information about the guests. Okay, let's just say you order something from Amazon, right? You go through, you order things from Amazon. What was that? I lost my
yeah.
train of thought here.
We're talking about who owns the guest, and then if you're
yeah, but they
Amazon,
have all
they
your
have profile.
Profile. They have uh-huh. your profile information.
And
yeah.
purchasing habits.
And how many times has someone from Amazon called you and thanked you for? So you don't have that personal connection. You don't have
yeah.
a personal connection with them.
Exactly.
Right? We in the hospitality field have the opportunity to have that personal connection
that
with
we
them.
We are not doing.
That's exactly
that's the thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But we're not doing that. So that's why
yeah.
I said I was thinking about this one day because I saw this article that Arne Soren with Marriott
yep.
and the gentleman, I can't think of his name, but he's with Accor Hotels. He's the CEO. There was an article about those two, and they were basically questioning who owns the guests.
Guess,
do we own
no.
the guests or do they own the guests? Because these other companies are trying to get into the hotel space. We've been in the hotel space forever,
right.
but we don't have the foothold over those people because we don't have all the profile information on it.
That they do.
So which yeah. means new technology that we're not embracing, we need to do that. And that goes with social media, with other tools that like geofencing or
yeah,
Wi-Fi technology,
you know,
and
also,
things like that.
There's a core resistance, I honestly, as you and I, okay, you want to call it whatever, stalking, finding out about more about people, whatever.
Mm.
It takes 2 minutes, mm-hmm. less than 2 minutes,
yep.
okay, with somebody's name. Let's say I just checked into this hotel, right? Mm-hmm. I checked out, whatever. I, as a hotel property, wants to follow up with you. You have already. It's me 2 minutes on a LinkedIn to, and maybe it's like Sagan to find a way to connect with you.
Exactly.
Okay. And if I send you something on my stationery from the hotel saying it was really a joy, basically, I granted, I risk the chance that maybe I'm intruding where I shouldn't be. However, there's a lot.
He's going to take that chance. And on that note, we're going to wrap this up. Hey, no, we got to cut this off. Our engineer's already given us a signal. I want to thank Russell Edmond, Russell of Hotels, for joining us today.
Much.
Today's show was brought to you by Park West General Contractors. Thank you, Ed, Chris, Nancy Nguyen, hello, and Rad Gantos and Associates. So we've got you covered. A couple of things to think about. We just opened up registration for the third annual California Lodging Investment Conference. You can register today at CLIconference.com, and your discount code is CLIC, C-L-I-C. So please take advantage of that and get registered now. We have sold out the past 2 years in a row.
And we'll sell out again.
We're hoping so. And I want to thank all of our sponsors and exhibitors. We've got some new companies joining us. We've got other companies that are getting deeper into the conference and having a bigger presence. Can't wait to see my partner, Rad Gantos, is designed for our new stage in October of this year. So then we can execute and have it out there for you. So, yeah, we're going to go with a minimal look. It's going to be bar stools and microphones.
Bar stools.
And today's show has been produced by Golden State Media Group. Thank you very much. Thank you, Paul, and OC Talk Radio for everything. And Paul and OC Talk Radio are now part of the CLIC conference as well. So, please, again, go to CLIconference.com.
Keep having the conversations, people, about hospitality. Challenge the norms.
Thank you all. Yes. Aloha.
Thank you for being our guest today on Check Out California. We look forward to having you as a guest with us again in 2 weeks. Until then, you can always reach us through our Check Out California Facebook page or by emailing us at checkoutcalifornia@gmail.com. We love hearing from you. So do let us know what you think of the show and what areas of interest you'd like to see us cover in the future. Your feedback is very important to us as we continue to bring you the best hospitality our Golden State has to offer. Until next time, may all your days be filled with sunsets and palm trees. Now, go experience and check out California.